I'm going to do an in-person today. So I'm going to give you the consequences, share with you rather, the consequences of sin, the consequences of listening to the voice of fear, and the consequences of not listening to the voices of faith. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week, then we're going to be out of here, and then we're going to go and worship. Our authors have entitled our lesson today, Moses' Prayer and God's Answer. And we're in a unit that's talking about taking God serious. And here, after this little brief introduction, you will hear the voice of James Bogan as he shares with us just a snippet of taking God serious, what God considers serious. And if God is serious, then we ought to be serious. If God thinks sin is serious, we ought to think sin is serious. Y'all hear me this morning? Bobby Key, just wave your hand, you know, act like you're fainting. Now, Sister Shirley, nudge you, you know, whatever. Because I'm this morning, I want to share with you about taking God serious. And there's nothing more serious than prayer. Nothing. Hey, Steve, you didn't hear me. There's nothing more serious than prayer. And we're going to see it. Now, I don't see my resident. Steve, you're going to have to help me out this morning. You're going to have to go to the King James, and you're going to have to go over to 1 Samuel, go to chapter 12. And I'll tell you the verse when you get there. Okay. But I want to show you what happens when we sin, when we rebel against God. We can't be flippant about it. We can't just be casual about it. And it's my estimation, Sister Lovelace, that we don't take God serious enough, because we think that we can just live any kind of life, and then that God will just wink at it. That God, oh, he's blasé, you know, hey, yeah, no big deal. But I'm here to tell you, God is a serious God, and he expects us to be serious, and he expects us to be serious about the things that he's serious about. And today's lesson gives us a perfect illustration of how serious God is. Last week, we concluded, we left going to church, Deacon Harmon, we left going to church with God saying, I'll wipe y'all out and I'll start all over again. This is God talking, Sister Ramsey. Sister Pillow, this is God talking. Sister Ramsey, this is God talking. I want to make sure that you hear this. I'm calling you by all your names so you know that you're hearing me. That God is serious about sin. And he told him last week, I'll wipe you out. Y'all were there. Well, let's see. Brother Bogan, start reading. Just read to your heart's content. Starting in verse 13, we're going to look at verses 13 through 24.
And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of a fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sweareth unto them, therefore he shall have slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my mercies, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
My. That's the family church school lesson for today. Look here. Somebody give me a Decalogue and we can just go on to worship right now. Because in this particular passage of scripture, Deacon Newsom, we see that God is serious and that God is serious about sin. And if God is serious about sin, we ought to be serious about sin. And so was Moses. And whenever there's a sin issue, prayer is in order. Intercessory prayer. Because if you ain't doing the sinning, you need to pray for the folk that are sinning. And if you don't pray for the folk, now I know some of you are tired and fed up with all these loud mouths, all these people who don't want to take personal responsibility, but they want you to take personal responsibility. They don't want to abide by the rules and the regulations, but they want you when their rules and regulations come up. Oh, you know, you can easily say, I just ain't going to pray for them folk no more. Steve, they'll say that. Deacon Harmon, they will say that. You know how I know? I have said it. But the Lord, you have to be watch what you say. Because I said that. I said, look, I'm not praying. I'm not getting down on my knees with no other people who call themselves Christian. They don't want to take the vaccination. They don't want to wear the mask. I ain't going to sit down and tell the Lord to heal the land. I said that. Well, guess what? The Lord has a way of putting a word in you saying, look at here, Snee, I know you've read the book several times from Genesis to Revelation. However, there is some revelation that you evidently overlooked because you either overlooked it or you forgot you ever read it. And Deacon Harmon on Sunday morning is going to show you why that's wrong. Because out of 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I believe, Steve, is verse 23. Would you read for me why we need to pray intercessorily? We need to have intercessory prayer at all times. Would you read that for me, Steve?
Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way.
Did you hear that, Brother Bogan? Deacon Harmon just told us that it's a sin not to pray for folk. Samuel was a prayer. Samuel was an intercessor. You must all, whenever you get tired of folk and fed up with folk, that is the time to pray. Don't stop praying for them. And in today's lesson, we see Brother Bogan has already read for us that Moses started praying to the Lord, and what he does, he intercedes on Israel's behalf. Moses trusted God. Moses was faithful for God. Caleb was faithful to God. Joshua was faithful to God, but the people were not. Israel, they were right on the cusp of the promised land, and they let fear and doubt turn them around. So Moses intercedes on their behalf. And look how he does it. Because in it, Moses gives us how to intercede on behalf of sinners. Let me show you. First of all, intercede by appealing to God's glory. See, God is serious about his glory. God does not do things for us based on our works, because we've been faithful, because we've been good, because we deserve it. God does things only for his glory, because God, according to Old Testament scripture, he created man for his glory. Jesus dying on the cross asked for one thing, that God would return him to the glory that he knew. So God is serious about glory. So if we're going to intercede on behalf of folk who are sinners, who have sinned, who have rebelled against God, we ought to appeal to God's glory, not our goodness. Not our circumstance, not our words. Moses here, he says, Lord, I know your glory is everything. And he says, in your glory, your reputation, your name is wrapped up in your glory. And he says, what will the Egyptians think if you kill these people? The very people that you delivered up out of Egypt. Lord, don't do this. That the Egyptians might think that these people that you brought up out of Egypt, you got them out of Egypt, but you couldn't get them in the promised land. Lord, I appeal to your glory, for your glory, for your reputation. Don't do it. Don't annihilate all these people as one. Don't kill us, Lord, because your reputation, therefore your glory, will be impugned. Lord, I appeal to you, this wonderful and glorious God, the great I am. Don't do it. Moses begins to intercede on behalf of the children of Israel who have sinned. Because 1 Samuel chapter 12 would later tell us not to do it would be a sin. Oh, that blessed me this week, folk. That blessed me. That told me that no matter how difficult things are, no matter how bad of an actor, no matter how stiff-necked you Baptists be, I ought to always be on my knees for you. I ought to always be want to intercede for you. And not because you've been good, and not because you're all of that, not because you belong to a great church, not because you belong to a great nation, simply because God's reputation is on the line. You are his people. But also, you know, he didn't only intercede him on behalf of his glory. He appealed to God's power. Brother Bogan, verse 17 again for me.
And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying.
Oh, in other words, appeal to God's power, because there's nothing that God can't do. God is omnipotent. That means he has the power to do anything. So you want to appeal to his power. He says, Lord, wait a minute. There's got to be another way out of this. You know how to do any and everything. And I'm appealing to you, Lord, according to your power. Use your power. Use your power. Use your power. Use your power, Lord. Because in verse 18, he says, your power is demonstrated in your long suffering. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Bogan. No. Keep them. Be my parliamentarian today. Keep them straight. Davis, keep them straight. Your power is in your long suffering and your great mercy. It takes power to persevere. It takes power to show great mercy. It takes power forgiving iniquity and transgressions. It takes power. And God, you're the God of all power. And that's why I'm coming to you on behalf of your children who have sinned, who have rebelled against you. And I'm asking you, Lord, for your glory and because of your wondrous power, I asked you, don't do it. Don't deny this opportunity at life because it's sin. God, I know you're serious about sin, but I'm telling you, for your reputation, for your glory, and in your wondrous power, I asked you, have mercy. Have great mercy. And see, back in Exodus, Brother Bogan, God had already, it's part of the Ten Commandments. God had already said, you know, I'm long-suffering. So here, Moses, is when you're interceding, Sister Lovelace, you ought to always use God's word. That's why, you know, Sister Hollis, you know, we have a prayer every week at from 11 to 11:30. And, you know, scripture is very prominent. And people pray the scriptures. They tell God what he has said. God, you are my refuge. God, you are my rock. God, you are my salvation. God, you are my buckler. You are my shield. You are the lifter of my... So we're appealing to God's glory and his power. We're appealing to who he is by his own word. God, you said you all of this. God, you said you were long-suffering. God, you said that you had the power to forgive, that you are a God of great mercy. You said it, God. Moses is showing us the anatomy of a great intercessory prayer. In verse 19, he gets to the meat of the matter. In verse 19, Brother Bogan, he says what?
Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto thy greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.
Lord, you've been forgiving these folk for a long time. These folk been acting the fool a long time. These people down at Resurrection and the Rock, they've been acting the fool a long time, Lord. And I know you're serious about sin, but I fall on my knees right now and I said, please, Lord, according to your power, according to your perseverance, according to your long suffering, according to your ability and power to absorb it all and yet pardon and forgive. You got to realize, I mean, you know, the author says this is a great prayer. Moses is showing us how to do it. Because when you run to the end of your rope, you better intercede or these people will be lost. And they were at the end of their rope. Because last week, Brother Davis, God told him, you guys have ticked me off. You provoked me to some righteous anger. And you know what? It would be better if I just start all over with this nation, that I would destroy you all. These folk had sinned, folk, and rebellion is serious. And you don't take God serious if you can continually rebel, rebel, rebel. But even when the folk around us, even when you are not in rebellion, you must do like Deacon Harmon reminded us out of 1 Samuel chapter 12, that it's a sin not to. It would have been a sin for Moses to say, okay, I ain't praying for you no more. But instead, he gave us a model for intercessory prayer. He says, intercede on behalf of the people appealing to God's glory. And then he says, intercede on behalf of the people in accordance with your power. But notice in verse 17, I want to run back to 17 one more time. Look at 17, and then we're going to look at our response, and then we'll be out of it.
And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying.
According to what?
According as thou hast spoken.
Wait a minute. My vision is not as great as it used to be. Is he reading that right? Did he say according to what thou hast spoken? See, he's not only appealing to God's power and his glory, Sister Ramsey, he's appealing to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, in your word, you promised. Y'all don't hear it. In your word, you promised. You told us that we would be in the land. You promised us by your word that you would be in the land. And Lord, not only am I appealing to your glory, not only am I appealing to your power, I'm appealing to your promise that you stated in your word. That's why, Sister Paulette, they use all those scriptures during prayer every day, because we want to appeal to God according to the promises that he's made in his word, knowing that he has the power to do it, knowing that his reputation, his name is on the line, therefore his glory is on the line. And the thing that God is most serious about is glory. Oh, y'all better help me this morning. I don't care nothing about your little rat-a-tat, what kind of church you go to, you know, how many Bibles you got, you know, how many softwares and how much equipment you got and all. God, do you give God glory? You know, last week, Deacon Harmon, folk were pining and crooning about Pastor Brown's sermon about, you know, changing your mindset. And Pastor in there, you know, his focus was something else. He was talking, you know, not only about being transactional, but being transformative. And in that sermon, though, Deacon Harmon, Pastor Brown used Romans 12 and 1. And it talked about your worship. See, because worship is what really give God glory. All the praise, all the honor that is bestowed upon God is because of the glory that he seeks. He seeks from us that which he will not give to himself. Y'all don't hear me. And in that passage of scripture where it says, present yourself, it says that you haven't even worshiped God until you've given God all that you have because of all that he is. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I'm going on to church. I'm going to leave y'all here in family church school. But I'm here to tell you that these sermons are connected because they're speaking to a people, and they're speaking to a people known as the Resurrection Baptist Church in this context. Is that you can't keep rebelling against God. You can't keep doubting God. You can't keep not being faithful to God. And you certainly can't stop praying to God, because people are still sinning, and not to pray for them, you're sinning.
Amen.
Oh, somebody better help me this morning. I'm ready today, Deacon Arnold. I am absolutely ready. Because what Moses shows us here is that your circumstances and people's responses, irresponsible responses to the circumstances, should not dictate whether or not you pray to God for them. Intercessory prayer is required. When I was a little boy, I realized that was a lot of years ago. You know, you might say, Deacon Sneed, and your memory been dimmed about it. But I remember there was a group, Deacon Harmon, that used to come to our church every year, because they were related to one of the people in the church, and they were from Washington, D.C. and the New York area. And they would come and they would sing. And the first time I heard, I was a little boy, I couldn't have been more than eight. But they came every year until I graduated from high school. They were there. That was an annual thing that they came and did. And after that first year, I was so taken at eight, and then I turned nine, accepted Christ as my Savior. And I would tell my grandmother that, you know, that song that they sing, are they going to sing it this year? And so my grandma would always say, are y'all going to sing this song? And let me tell you what it was. It started out, did you think to pray this morning? I'm a little bit of kid. that was it. That I love the melody of the song. The lyrics, didn't appeal to me. It was just the melody of the song. But later on, I realized that we get up and we go about our day and we don't even think to pray. Did you think to pray this morning? Did you think just to kneel just once more? Moses didn't even give it a thought. He immediately, when he realized what God was going to do, he knew what he had to do. When he knew that God was serious, he knew that he had to be serious. And he had to appeal to God on the things that were serious to God: his glory, his reputation, his power, his promises. And then in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses prayed a great prayer. God responded. Moses prayed and God responded. And he tells Moses something. I want you to know that this prayer is not just a little silly game that you and I play. Prayer is serious. And he says, Moses, I knew what I was going to do long before you ever bent your knees. But according to your word, I want to let you know it's real important that you think it's serious enough, that the sin was serious enough, and that I'm serious about sin, that you would come before me. That's why verse 20 is there. That's why verse 20 is there. It says that God says, I'll respond when you pray. And I'll respond specifically based on your word. You came to me based on my word. I responded to you based on yours. Just what you asked for, I'm going to give it to you. Y'all don't hear me. You're too quiet. Because ain't nobody fainted yet. I ain't seen one faint, Monty. Not yet. I ain't had nobody. You interceded. Your intercession changed some things for a lot of folk. There was a transaction and there was a transformation because you did not forget to pray this morning. You interceded on somebody's behalf. And God says, according to your word, Moses, because of your great request, it is done. Brother Bowman, I want you to read the one word in verse 21. Just one word, because they won't believe me. They won't believe me. But, what does it say?
But.
You better say it again, Brother Bowman.
But.
See, everybody thinks that you can sin and just live any kind of life you want to. You can rebel against God, and it's okay. God will pardon. God will forgive. But there are consequences.
Amen.
Verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Verse 23 said, surely, y'all didn't hear me. I know, because Sister Dorothy would have jumped back. Here's what I said. Surely, they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. You forgiven, but you ain't going to the land. See, that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. And sin has its consequences. You can't get out there and drink all that liquor, smoke all that dope, live that lascivious life. You know, don't take care of your health and think now that, oh, because you're good and you can't do some of the things that you used to do, that God should just heal your body. And God forgave you for those sins. Because you asked for it. But there are consequences. And here's the consequence, Sister Davis. You ain't going to the land. He told him, okay, you didn't want to go to the land? You ain't going. I'm going to honor your request, but I forgive you. And just because you sin, and now you're infirm with a particular a disease, a consequence, a circumstance, doesn't mean that God has unforgiveness. It's just that there are consequences.
Amen.
And that's what we don't realize. There are consequences. See, pardon is just like you hadn't done. Forgiveness is the first step in restoring the relationship. Y'all don't hear me. I got to go to church. I can't teach this today. But because you got to know that. You still holding. And see, God is saying, I'm serious about sin. That's why it's got to be pardoned or forgiven. Otherwise, you got to be annihilated. And that's what he says to us. To say, if I'm that serious about sin and I'm that serious about pardon and forgiving, you ought to be just as serious about pardon and forgiving. You heard me. I said pardon and forgiving. You said, I just want to be a disciple of Christ. You know what a disciple of Christ is? Being like Christ. He says he pardons and forgives. Yes, there are going to be consequences. And we got to understand that, that there are consequences. So Moses makes this great prayer. And we see this anatomy of this great prayer. And we see the response of God. And we say, oh, we're left. Was I pardoned? We miss out on the blessings of God when we sin. That's the consequence. You're forgiven for it. You won't be annihilated. But it suggests that Moses' prayer and our prayers of intercessions, they make a determination. They play an integral part in our destinations. Hell, heaven, play an integral part. Our prayers play an integral part in whether or not people are going to be transformed, healed, life circumstances changed. And see, the thing about it, a lot of folk say, you know, oh, I need healing. You know, I can't walk. So they start walking, but they walk with a limp. Maybe that's the consequence. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're healed, but because they did all that stuff to their body, they're now left with low capacity in their lungs. Those are the consequences. Hey, I ain't telling nothing you don't know. Most of us on this Zoom call, we over 30. Some of us over 30 a couple of times. The issue is, there's some stuff that I just wish I had not done.
Amen.
I've been forgiven for it. Because God said he forgave me. But we miss out on blessings. Better blessings. These folk are not going to the promised land. And you know what he says? He says, for everyone that doubted me, they're not going. But you know what? I made a promise to the nation of Israel. I'll let your children go. The very children that you're raising, I'll let you live long enough. I'll let you wander in the wilderness, but you won't get in that promised land. But you're forgiven. But your children will, because I'm a God of my word. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where unto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The author's entitled this session, this verses 20 through 24, as God's great judgment. Because sin, rebellion, no sin, no rebellion, there will be judgment. Y'all don't hear me. The folk that didn't believe, they're not going to the land. But the ones that were faithful, they're going to the land. They were going, the ones that were, I'm talking about the grown folk. All those grown folk, they didn't see the promised land. Their children saw it. He says, I'm not going to curse your children. I'm not going to keep them, deny them the promise that I promised Abraham before them. But they shall see. Moses prayed a great prayer. God gave a great response. And that response included a great judgment. Can I see you guys next week? Same time, in this same spot, same space. We'll see you then. Go to church. Have a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it.